The headlines: Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi is paying an official visit to Syria, the first by an Iranian president since the foreign-backed militants who gripped the Arab country in 2011. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza says one person was killed and five others injured in Israeli airstrikes on the besieged strip before a truce. Russia says it has arrested seven Ukrainian agents planning sabotage attacks in Crimea. Hello and welcome, everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Our top story for this half hour: Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi has arrived in Syria on a two-day official visit to the war-torn Arab country. Raisi has been officially welcomed by Syrian counterpart Bashar al-Assad. This is the first trip by an Iranian president to Syria since the conflict and foreign-backed insurgency gripped the Arab country in 2011. Before his departure for Damascus, Raisi hailed the people of Syria and resistance groups in the region for standing against the U.S.-backed terrorism.
Terror groups like Daesh, which were created by the U.S., did their utmost to cause chaos in the region through bloodshed and murder. Daesh and Takfiri groups committed many massacres and crimes. But the people of Syria, resistance groups in the region, President Assad himself, and his government showed great strength and stood against attacks and acts of aggression.
Raisi added that Syria's sovereignty and territorial integrity must be respected, and that the Syrian government must have control over every inch of the country's soil. He also expressed hope that his visit to Damascus will help expand cooperation between Iran and Syria in various fields. Iran has given an unwavering support for Syria since the beginning of the war there. It has also sent military advisors to the Arab nation at the request of its government. Tehran has also expressed its readiness to help with rebuilding efforts in Syria. But to further look into this historic visit by the Iranian president to Damascus, we're now joined by our correspondent Mohammed Ali, who's with us from the Syrian capital. Also, we have activist and political commentator Laith Maruf, who's joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mohammed in Damascus. Mohammed, what's happened since President Raisi touched down in Damascus? All right, I believe we do not have our correspondent Mohammed Ali with us at the moment, but let's cross over to Mr. Laith Maruf, who's joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Mr. Maruf, welcome to the program, to you as well. Talk to us about the significance and importance of this historic visit by the Iranian president to Syria.
It's very historic and significant, given the fact that this is the first Iranian president visiting Syria since 2011. So we're talking about 12 years of war in Syria now, signaling an end to this war. It also comes at the same time as the results of the rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia, with the help of China, are significantly changing the face of the region. Of course, yesterday we saw the meetings in Jordan between the Saudi, Egyptian, Iraqi, Jordanian, and Syrian foreign ministers. And we're expecting, of course, in the next 2 weeks after the elections of Turkey, that there will be a new page opened between relationships of between Turkey and Syria, and the Arab League meeting coming up in Riyadh right after. So the arrival of President Raisi to Damascus makes clear that Syria is the cornerstone of peace and coexistence between all the countries in the region, and that the main enemy of all peace in the region is the Zionist colony. This is a very significant day for people in Syria, for people of all of Western Asia.
Right, and staying with you, Mr. Maruf, what is the significance and the scope of this visit, and enhancing cooperation between Damascus and Tehran even further when we look at it in the context of the region?
Well, clearly, we heard some of already the statements that were made by President Assad and President Raisi at their meetings. There was some comments released by the presidential office of Syria. And what we see is Iran now moving forward beyond just helping Syria defeat the Wahhabi death squads the terrorists that were thrown at the country, but now we're moving towards rebuilding the country and a continuation of this relationship. We also heard the statements of President Assad, who reminded the world about this special relationship between Syria and Iran, this 40-year relationship that was built on trust and mutual cooperation, and of course, how this has changed the face of the region. Without this cornerstone of security relationship between Syria and Iran, much of the face of Western Asia would be different. Probably President Bush and Clinton would have achieved, and Obama would have achieved their new Middle East that they were hoping to have. And Syria and Iran were the cornerstone of defeating imperial plans for the region and guaranteeing the sovereignty of our countries.
One of the reactions prior to this trip was from the Iranian foreign minister, who said that this trip basically shows the success that Iran has had in its regional policy. Do you see it in that light as well?
Definitely. I mean, look, the Israelis just bombed Aleppo Airport last night, and which is a clear indication that they are angry at the continuation of this relationship between Syria and Iran. And the arrival of President Raisi today in Damascus is a challenge to the Zionists. We see right now the Israeli media obsessed with this visit. Since yesterday, all the media in Israel is wondering what security Netanyahu can bring to them, and how can he challenge and say that he's challenging the presence of Iran and Hezbollah in Syria. So here we have a direct challenge to the Zionists, and they can't do anything about it. The future is bright for the resistance axis. It is the victor in the region. And what we will see in the next few months, as pressure starts mounting on the American troops in Syria, a continuation of this rollout of imperialism from the region. And of course, the interview yesterday of President Raisi with Al Mayadeen television, where he made it clear to the Zionists that if they dare attack Iran, that this will be the last move and it will be the end of the Zionist colony. These are very high statements, and they are backed by facts on the ground. The victory of the Axis of Resistance after this long battle in Syria.
Well, Mr. Maarouf, Iran's president, before he took off for Damascus, said that Syria's sovereignty, he underscored Syria's sovereignty over all its territories, also adding that the U.S. forces illegally stationed in the country must immediately leave. If you can open up that issue for us, of the issue the sovereignty of Syria over all its territories, what are some of the main challenges, some of the obstacles that Syria is facing in that regard?
Well, currently there's the American occupying troops in Al-Tanf and in Deir ez-Zor and Raqqa and Khan Mishli in the north. And there is the Turkish occupation troops in Idlib and Aleppo. And reminder, this is not now only a statement by President Raisi. Just the day before the joint meeting between the five Arab countries in Amman, Jordan, made the same statement, said that demanded for the removal and the exit of any foreign troops that are not invited to Syria, which is a clear indication that even the other Arab countries, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Iraq, have understood the sovereignty of Syria to include its right to invite Iran and Hezbollah to defend its territory. So this is a very high statement, not only from President Raisi, but from all East Arab states, which means that the American troops very soon, especially in Al-Tanf base on the triangle between Syria, Iraq, and Jordan, will be cut off if Jordan decides that they will not allow them to anymore enter the territory of Syria, similarly with Iraq. So here we have a rollout slowly of an exit strategy for American troops, and Syria will be the main benefactor, of course, of this exit. We will see, of course, in the next 2 weeks after the election in Turkey, what will happen to the Turkish occupying troops in Idlib and Aleppo.
Thanks a lot. Activist and political commentator Laith Maruf joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Moving on, Palestinian inmate Sheikh Qader Adnan has been martyred in an Israeli jail after nearly 3 months of hunger strike over his illegal detention. Adnan was found unconscious in his cell on Tuesday morning. He went on a hunger strike on February the 5th. An Israeli court rejected another plea to release him on bail despite warnings about his health condition. The 45-year-old Palestinian was a senior member of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement in the occupied West Bank. His body has been taken to an Israeli hospital. The International Committee of the Red Cross is calling on Israel to release his body. Adnan is the 206th Palestinian deliberately murdered in Israeli detention centers. He was one of the nearly 5,000 Palestinians held in the regime's jails. Many are incarcerated under the so-called administrative detention mechanism, which is used to keep Palestinians behind bars indefinitely without any charge or trial. The health ministry in the Gaza Strip says one Palestinian was killed and five others injured in Israeli airstrikes before a ceasefire reached between the regime and resistance groups. The ministry said 58-year-old Gazan died after Israel carried out aerial strikes hitting several areas, including Hamas positions in the besieged territory. Dozens of rockets were also fired toward Israel from Gaza in retaliation from the martyrdom of Palestinian prisoner Qader Adnan in an Israeli jail. Adnan went on hunger strike to protest his detention without any charge or trial. Meanwhile, the Islamic Jihad resistance movement said the attacks from Israel and Gaza have ended as the truce is being enforced. Egypt, Qatar, and the UN helped secure what Palestinian sources said was a reciprocal and simultaneous ceasefire. Earlier, the Israeli military confirmed three injuries in rockets fired from Gaza. Hamas representative in Iran, Khaled Qadoumi, has told us that Palestinians will follow in Sheikh Adnan's footsteps and continue resistance in the face of the Israeli regime's brutal crimes.
We, all of us, are marching to resist this enemy and to continue our path till liberation. These sacrifices of Sheikh Qader Adnan and the sacrifices of all those youngsters, boys, and daughters who are in the street marching under the slogan of freedom and removing of this occupation will continue. And I tell you, those missions which has been done everywhere to defend our rights is a reaction against the biggest crime that is the continuous and perpetual occupation for the last 74 years. What we are going to do is to do with the will of Sheikh Qader Adnan and his all colleagues. We will continue to struggle to free our prisoners. We will continue our struggle to remove this occupation, to safeguard Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's a complete holistic program of resistance that adopts all ways and all levels to defend our rights and to defend our people. And that the blood of those martyrs, the blood of those shuhadas will never be wasted.
Russia says it has arrested seven people working for Ukrainian intelligence in the Crimean port city of Sevastopol. In a statement, Russia's Federal Security Service said the detainees were planning attacks in the Black Sea region. The statement also said that attacks against Russian-installed governor and other officials there were thwarted. The revelation came as a massive fire engulfs another fuel depot near a bridge linking Russia's mainland with Crimea. Reports say the blaze was caused as a result of a drone falling on the facility. Last week, a similar fire broke out at an oil reservoir in Sevastopol, which Russian officials blamed on Ukraine. Several Crimean cities have been hit by drones since Russia launched its military offensive against Ukraine. Crimea was reintegrated into the Russian Federation following a referendum in 2014. U.S. official data shows the number of job openings fell for a third straight month in March, while layoffs increased to the highest level in more than 2 years. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said there were almost 400,000 fewer vacancies in March compared to the previous month. It said the total job openings are now 1.6 million lower than at the end of last year. The decline comes as layoffs show no sign of slowing down this year. Layoffs have largely hit construction, accommodation, food services, and healthcare sectors. The job cuts jumped by almost 250,000 and have reached 1.8 million. That's the highest level since December 2020. The gloomy jobs data and concerns over U.S. debt ceiling and banking sector have had ripple effects on Wall Street, where dollar and stock indexes closed lower on Tuesday. Well, author and economist Steve Keen is joining us now from the British capital, London. Mr. Keen, welcome to the program. How alarming are these numbers?
Well, they're not so much alarming as confirming, because many people have been saying for quite some time that the rate hikes the Fed is being engineering in the intention to control inflation are more likely to cause, first of all, the banking sector to collapse because it's reducing the value of bonds. So we're seeing bank failures galore right now. And they now exceed the bank failures of 2008. And then as those interest rates get passed on to people who are have mortgages or have large commercial loans and so on, that's going to potentially reduce credit-based demand. And the government's also cutting back on fiscal policy with this crazy obsession about running a balanced budget. So you have three factors all at once compressing the potential for the economy to expand. And these numbers, the beginning of layoff, look like the start of what could be a severe downturn, which you can largely blame on the Federal Reserve.
So what's the way out of this?
Get different economists to run the Federal Reserve. This is the irritating thing for people like myself who actually understand the monetary system, is that the conventional economists who run the Fed do not understand the monetary system. They have models of the economy that don't include banks or debt or money at all, and they are they're controlling this mythical view of the economy as they see through these models, where what they think they're reducing is what they call inflationary expectations. Now, what they're actually doing is increasing the cost of finance on the rest of the economy, and this can actually cause continued inflation as those costs are passed on, while also crippling demand. So they're just the wrong sorts of people to be running the Federal Reserve, and this is showing the damaging impact of having what really is a cult, neoclassical economics, dominating decision-making in a capitalist economy, which by definition this cult cannot understand.
Thanks a lot, economist and author Steve Keen, joining us from London. Elsewhere, Sudan's warring military factions have agreed to a new and longer truce despite reports of sporadic gunfire in the capital, Khartoum. The army and the paramilitary rapid support forces agreed to a 7-day ceasefire mediated by neighboring South Sudan. It will go into effect from Thursday after the current 72-hour ceasefire expires. Meanwhile, the UN Special Envoy for Sudan said the country's army generals and the paramilitary group have agreed to send their representatives to Saudi Arabia for peace talks. The two sides signed multiple truce deals since fighting began in mid-April, but they also traded blame for violating them. Some 530 people have been killed and 4,500 others wounded. The UN says the conflict has created a humanitarian crisis, forcing tens of thousands of people to flee to neighboring countries. Several nations have already evacuated their citizens and diplomats from Sudan.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bazaar.
The construction industry has continuously had a series of revolutions throughout history. Technological advancements have influenced the construction sector too, from durable concrete in ancient structures to smart windows that automatically open and close based on light exposure. Some materials evolved with time, others are new to the industry and address natural disasters while reflecting changing lifestyles and environmental values. Still, other materials are born out of a need to reduce construction costs. In a nutshell, structures and their materials are the building blocks of society and economic expansion.
Hello everyone, Ali Reza here, welcoming you to a brand new edition of Bazaar. This week, we are taking you on a journey through Iran's mammoth building construction industry while highlighting some of the country's recent developments in this sector. Plus, we will check out its market as a whole and the construction industry's contributions to the national economy. So, let's get started.
To understand the enormity of the construction industry, we visited the 22nd Annual International Building and Construction Exhibition in Tehran. Because the exhibition was sprawled over nearly 4 hectares of land, one day is not nearly enough for visitors to see the entire expo, so it ran for 3 days. This exhibition is one of the most important events in its industry. We caught up with a few companies at the exhibit to see what they were offering. Our first stop was at a booth held by a company that makes ceramic tiles. They also export their products to numerous countries. Next, we stopped by a company specializing in manufacturing faucets and kitchen and bathroom attachments. It also purchases most of its raw materials from inside the country. Like many we have seen at the event, this company has created many job opportunities directly and indirectly. Plus, it uses the latest machinery to make high-quality products that compete with foreign brands. Now, many might not think twice about it, but Iran's faucet and fixture production have been booming. So we spoke with another company that has been exporting these items for years.
Industry participants say this year's Building Expo was much larger than last year's, meaning that Iran's construction industry has expanded in recent years, displaying the country's various existing and emerging capabilities in the field. Statistics show that last year some 900 domestic companies participated in the events. Also, foreign companies were present, offering their goods and services.
This year's exhibit hosted hundreds of foreign companies from Germany, Australia, Turkey, China, Spain, Italy, South Korea, and Malaysia, just to name a few. A wealth of products were showcased at the expo, from road and construction equipment to stones, sanitary supplies, heating and cooling systems, lifts and elevators, and so much more. Rarely has any industry offered so much versatility and variety of products as the construction industry. Events like this one offer a platform for the exchange of ideas, examining markets and opportunities for collaboration to create new products needed in the market. Next, we stopped by a display for a company specializing in making various inset kitchen products. We asked them about their goods and approach to challenges posed by the US sanctions. Walking through the exhibit, we ran into a company that makes metal fittings for stairs, windows, and areas that require spatial separations. All things considered, the construction sector has been significant for the Iranian economy. The sector is divided into two main parts: government infrastructure projects and the housing industry. The construction industry has been thriving due to national and international investment to the extent that it is now one of the largest in the West Asia region. This sector suffered a lot after the US withdrew from the 2015 deal and reimposed sanctions against Iran. These measures choked construction materials import. As a result, the steady flow of things like metals to Iran was seriously hampered and eventually halted altogether. But despite the bans, this industry continues to grow and is also one of the few that exports services to other countries. Based on the Association of Iranian Exports of Technical and Engineering Services, Iran currently has the potential to export engineering services worth $40 billion annually. The country already exports these services to countries around the Caspian Sea, its bordering neighbors, South and Central America, North Africa, and South Asia. Some construction projects include sewage treatment plants, dams, and energy plants. According to the Ministry of Industry, Mining, and Trade, Iran is self-sufficient in construction material production. Steel, glass, and cement are abundantly produced in the country. Moreover, the surplus of these items is exported to countries worldwide. Government officials say they have plans to expand exports to Iran's trade partners, including China and Russia. For example, the Ministry of Industry, Mine and Trade says it plans to sell upwards of $3 billion worth of construction materials to Russia alone. As a whole, the government views the construction sector as a feasible alternative for generating foreign revenues and diversifying the country's economy away from oil profits. Now it's time to check out this week's special feature of Bazaar. So let's see where Sarah has been this past week.
In an ever-increasing technology-driven world, city streets are becoming more and more congested than ever before, while connected and autonomous technologies in vehicles are also on the rise. Such safety concerns pose a significant challenge for city planners and traffic engineers to improve mobility, safety, and efficient use of roadways now and in the future. When you are driving to work, or especially going on a road trip, you need to be fully alert to avoid the hidden cameras all across the road from catching you or costing you a damage. Well, sometimes this can be really irritating, but have you ever thought of the significant impacts they have in the most challenging situations? Today, we decided to take you to a company active in the field of intelligent transportation system in Shadif University of Technology. Let's go check it out. Thank you. with Creating Intelligent Transportation Systems, the research and development team of the students in Sharif University of Technology has created a smart traffic software for processing related information. These smart systems are mounted beside or over the roads to detect motoring offenses, including speeding, vehicles going through a red traffic light, vehicles going through a toll booth without paying, or for recording vehicles inside a congestion charge area. All these violations are detected 24/7 using traffic data analysis system.
We as Kanek Group started to work around 10 years ago here in Electronic Research Institute in Sharif University of Technology. Back then, our main expertise was focused on image processing and embedded systems and also IoT devices for smart cities and buildings. Our products are all knowledge-based and divide into three main categories. The first one is machine vision and embedded systems. The other part of the products are based on IoT or Internet of Things products. And the third one is the big data analysis and data mining. These products are all implemented on a secure and highly customized Linux operating system. Another line of our products are based on IoT devices, such as the smart gateways and actuators. We have exported these products to two foreign countries, and also the third line of our products are based on data mining and big data analysis. These softwares and products are mainly used in road maintenance and transportation organization and also some major municipality offices. These softwares helps a lot in extracting useful patterns out of millions and billions data in traffic control centers and help managers and also managers and experts in traffic control sensors to extract practical and beneficial data from these smart cameras or sensors throughout the city.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this intelligent software was created for the smart camera system. When it comes to cameras, we have various kinds of traffic enforcement cameras, such as speed violation detection camera, red light camera, road safety camera, and so many more for plate detection. But that's not all. This company also creates IoT devices or Internet of Things. These are intelligent gateway camera systems for buildings and image processing with the aim of providing a better living environment for people and reducing energy consumption. Alright, now it's time to take a closer look at the smart camera system and see how it works. There are thousands of smart camera systems all across the country that actually function with the software created in this company. Now, let's take a look at one of the smart camera systems created in this company. Well, just like human, this smart system is created and is made of eyes. And if we delve inside, it's also made of a powerful brain. Well, the eye of this system is the industrial camera, which is created in different versions depending on the geographic location of the camera. For example, the one we have here has been created with a hardware design that protects against a heat wave. Anyway, this camera captures the images from the front side of this smart system and sends these images to the processing board, which functions as the brain part of this smart system. And finally, the data is transmitted from the intelligent software of the smart system to the traffic control centers all across the city.
The Kanek Group was founded in some 8 years ago, I think. And the main focus of the group was on cutting edge smart technologies. For example, in machine vision, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data analytics, Internet of Things, and stuff like that. Later on, we use these technologies in more specific areas, for example, in intelligent transportation systems and various aspects of smart cities, like smart buildings, smart automation. And we have other countries around us that they are interested in some of our products. Our main goal for the future is to actually connect all the intelligent aspects of the city together. For example, if you have something smart in the in a villa or in an apartment, we connect it to the road, we connect it to the work office, and all these things all together to for one brain actually to decide for the optimization and improvement of several aspects of the these systems.
Employing the latest smart technologies as well as artificial intelligence, this company focuses on smart city and smart buildings, and ultimately it aims at city management without human involvement. Presently, their products are available in almost 17 provinces in Iran. Traffic technologies continue to evolve and scale into solutions in mega cities. Finally, this paves the way to optimizing traffic flow and improving efficiency and safety on the roads. Well, there is no way to violate the traffic rules. The latest technologies in the modern world today, including the smart camera system, can detect and improve the wrong behaviors of drivers in the society. And by the end of the day, they can create a smarter, safer, and more sustainable transportation ecosystem. I've been Sarah Dema, and I'll see you next time.
We are getting close to the end of the program, but before we go, let's check out some news and trends in the construction industry and beyond. Iran is known for its creative experts in the field of engineering, so it is no surprise that last year the country exported technical and engineering services valued at nearly $2 billion.
That's based on Iran's Trade Promotion Organization. These services were sent to countries in Southeast Asia, North Africa, and neighboring regions. For example, 57 major infrastructural projects were carried out by dozens of Iranian companies in Iraq alone. Furthermore, the organization says with more planning and resources, the country can quickly increase exports of technical and engineering services to $20 million annually. In the last 15 years, Iran has taken on some 900 construction projects in 21 countries worth $32 billion.
Unconventional use of construction material. An Iranian architect has transformed a widely used construction material into a unique form of window. It is a type of spectacled brick that is a solid block with a circular aperture at its core which filters in the light.
The architect says the high density of buildings and city regulations in Tehran has limited sunlight exposure in office and commercial buildings. The developer explains the special brick in this project allows sunlight penetration even in parts of the building where windows are not permitted by city codes. Additionally, these unique windows can be adjusted to closed or open positions to optimize daylight exposure. The advantage of this brick is that it can absorb less air pollution and help filter out the noise from the motorways.
Increasing market reach. And let's conclude with Iran's efforts to expand its market reach and trade of goods with its neighbors. The country is organizing 6 exhibitions in the Qatari capital, Doha, that will be held during this year's FIFA World Cup event.
5 exhibitions will introduce Iranian handcrafts, such as hand-woven carpets, home decorations, and much more. Additionally, 1 will be held for construction materials and technical engineering services. This is significant for increasing bilateral relations and trade between the two nations. Government officials also say a direct shipping line has been launched between Iran and Qatar to help with the transportation and distribution of goods.
That wraps up our program for today. Also, if you have a topic that you're interested in, you can send us your thoughts and suggestions via email. We always enjoy hearing from you. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for tuning in and take care. And bye-bye.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house, many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up, we must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers, sisters, my dear listeners السلام عليكم ورحمته وبركاته Welcome to Keys of Life مفاتيح الحياة coming to you from IRIB English Radio One of the keys of life we've been talking about previously is food and how we should deal with food One of the issues that we were talking about and it is a very important issue because me and you we do every single day and that is eating too much and becoming extremely full the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam they told us that Allah hates people with full bellies they hate people who eat too much they hate people who desire too much food and too different types of food they are hated now let us continue more so this concept can sink in our heads further. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he even goes further and he takes the fact that eating too much in this world will affect me on the day of judgment. He says, "Atwalakum ju'an yawm al-qiyam." Those who eat too much in this world, they will be the ones who will be most hungry on the day of judgment. And we don't know how long judgment day will be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain people will make them hungry. He will make them thirsty just because they overindulge themselves in these desires of this world. Eat, drink, but to limits in a state where it does not deprive you of knowledge, it does not deprive you of wisdom, does not deprive you of all the beauty that Allah has offered the mu'mineen. So eating less is a good thing, eating too much is a bad thing. And then the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he says, إِذَا أَكَلْتَ فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَشْبَعَ If you eat, do not be full. لِأَنَّ الطَّعَامَ إِذَا تَكَاثَرَ عَلَى الصَّدْرِ when the food becomes so much and sits on your chest, فَزَادَ فِي الْقَدْرِ, and it becomes too much amount of food, ذَهَبَ مَاءُ الْوَجْهِ, the light, the nur, the luminance in the face of the person will be extinguished. And when we talk about nur here, we don't talk about physical light emanating from the face, but the nur of iman. You know, there are people that when you look at their faces, you feel comfort, you feel ease, you feel peace. You can say, oh, this person has a light to their face. This is what we mean. Those who eat too much, Allah will take that away from them. You look at their faces and they're just dry faces. You don't feel even comfortable looking at. One of the causes of that is too much food, according to the Prophet Isa, alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salawatullah. Luqman was advising his son, and he says, Ya bunay, my dear son, إذا امتلأت المعدة نامت الفكرة, when your stomach is full, then your logic, your intellect goes to sleep. وخرست الحكمة, and hikmah will become silent, wisdom will become silent. وقعدت الأعضاء عن العبادة, and your body limbs will be too weak, too tired to do any acts of worship. So eating too much, it will do so much damage to the body, to the heart, to the intellect, and I can't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the classical example of that is in the month of Ramadan, when we're fasting and we eat before we pray, then we become so lazy to go and pray. And when we pray and we don't know what we're saying. So we killed our body. Let us take a short break and then we will continue this topic.
Ayatollah Javadi Omoli, the author of the book Mafatihul Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. So we're talking about eating too much and the bad effects of eating too much. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he said, Ata Abu Jahifatun Nabi, person by the name of Abu Jahifa, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa yatajashsha'u, he's eating so much that he's throwing up. Faqala akfuf jasha'ak, the Prophet says to him, stop eating too much, stop doing this thing. Fa'inna akthara an-nasi fi dunya shaba'an aktharuhum ju'an yawm al-qiyamah. For among the people, those who eat too much and they are almost filled with food, they will be the most hungry on the Day of Judgment. And then he said, فَمَا مَلَأَ أَبُو جَحِيفَةٌ بَطْنُهُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ حَتَّى لَحْقَ بِاللَّهِ. When he heard this from the Prophet, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, Abu Jahifa, he never ever filled his stomach with food until he passed away. So this man took the words of the Prophet to heart, and he never filled his stomach. And then he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, La tarfa yadaka min al-ta'am illa wa anta tashtahi. Don't stop eating food until you feel like you want to eat more. So basically, when you eat, get off from the meal while you're feeling that you want to eat more. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ تَسْتَمْرَ. And if you do that, then you are in a good state, obviously. So if you don't fill up your stomach and you get up hungry, there's still more space in your stomach, Amir al-Mu'minin says, then you are a good person. You're doing the right thing. And also was narrated in the hadith, مَنْ قَلَّ طَعَامُهُ صَحَّ بَدَنُهُ. He who eats less, then his body will be healthy. وَصَفَى قَلْبَهُ. His heart will be enlightened. وَمَنْ كَثَرَ طَعَامُهُ. Who he eats a lot, then his body will become سَقِمَ بَدَنَهُ وَقَسَى قَلْبَهُ. And his heart will become hardened. So this is all effects of food. And you can even see today in our medical science and even the nutritions, they emphasize on fasting. Like, when I mean fasting, not the fasting of the month of Ramadan, but eating like one meal a day or two meals a day and having about 16 hours of no food. That makes you very healthy, makes you very aware, makes your mind very sharp. And now, you know, the diets today, that they emphasize on that fact of fasting at least 16 hours a day and eating one or two meals maximum. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَبْغَضُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. There is no thing more hated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala مِن بَطْنٍ مَمْلُؤَةٍ, from a stomach that is filled. If you want to look at the things that Allah hates and you want to take the one that He hates the most, it's a stomach that is filled. Basically, a person with a filled stomach of food. And Imam al-Sadiq says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَبْغُضُ كَثْرَةُ الْأَكْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates too much eating. And then he also said, لَيْسَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمْ بُدْنٌ مِنْ أَكْلِهِ يُقِيمَ بِهَا صُلْبَةٌ. What you need is to eat just enough to give you that strength and that power. فَإِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ طَعَامًا فَلْيَجْعَلْ ثُلْثُ بَطْنِهِ لِلطَّعَامِ. If you want to eat, have 3/4 of your stomach for food, وَثُلْثُ بَطْنِهِ لِلشَّرَابِ, and 1/3 of your stomach for drinking, وَثُلْثُ بَطْنِهِ لِلنَّفْسِ, and 1/3 of your stomach for air. وَلَا تُسْمِنُوا تَسَمُّنَ الْخَنَازِيرِ, and do not fill your stomach in the way that pigs fill up their stomach. So divide your stomach into 3 parts, part for food, part for drinking, and part for air, which means less food. Inshallah, we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.